This is Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow, coming to you from the Sidney Goldstein Theater in San Francisco. One of my favorite topics to discuss on Science Friday is the microbiome, you know, that vast menagerie of trillions of microscopic bacteria and fungi that live on us and inside of us. But I found out recently there's a lot more living on us than just microbes. Take, for example, the face mite. Yes, you heard me correctly. It's a tiny arachnid that lives on your face. And in some studies, it's been found in 100% of people sampled. So chances are, yes, they are hiding out in your oil glands and hair follicles right now. I see a few of you squirming in the seats about that. Yeah, I understand it. And you know, if you do the math, there are about 5 million hair follicles on your body. And there are more than 7 billion people on Earth. So there are lots of face mites everywhere you look. And joining me now to talk about these ubiquitous creatures is Michelle Troutwine, curator of entomology at the California Academy of Sciences here in San Francisco. Welcome to Science Friday.
Thank you. Dr. Troutwine.
Okay, what exactly is a face mite then?
So a face mite is an arachnid, so it's related to a spider. They're microscopic, and they kind of look like a stubby little worm with 8 little legs at the tip.
And it's safe to assume that everybody in our audience might have one at least?
At least one. I hate to break it to you, but yes, you all have face mites. Probably dozens, hundreds, maybe thousands.
Ooh, doesn't that make you feel good? But we call them face mites, but they live all over your whole body.
All over your body. They really like the greasy spots, so they congregate mostly in your face, but also your genitals, your ears, nipples, nose, inside your nose.
Wow.
Yeah.
And I'm afraid to ask the next question. What do they eat on my body?
So they eat sebum, which is kind of just the oily gunk on your skin, so that's why they like the greasy parts, because that's what they eat. Although, to be honest, that's what we assume. We know very, very little about them. So maybe they're eating bacteria, maybe they're eating skin cells. They're still a mystery.
Okay, so presuming that the oil that my pores are producing is meant to protect my face from the elements, right? So having all these arachnids eat it, isn't that depriving me of my own facial oils that I need?
It doesn't seem like it, right? It seems like we probably have enough. And maybe even they initiate the creation of sebum. I don't really know.
And we pass them from one person to another?
So that's right. We all have our own population, and it seems like they're passed mostly from parent to offspring. So we do. I have some data that shows we share them between people you're really physically close with, so your partners. But it seems they're primarily passed down from parent to offspring.
So what if you try to wash your face enough and you use all kinds of creams and lotions and whatever? You're shaking your head like, I'm wasting my time.
You're wasting your time. Yeah, so I don't think washing does anything. If you really put some kind of pesticide on your face, you could, no, really, you could kill some of them. But here's the thing.
Don't try this at home.
Don't try that at home. No. Here's the thing. They also can reproduce asexually. So if there's one female left anywhere, the whole thing will start all over again. So they're just a part of your skin ecosystem and an inevitable part of
if they don't poop, right? I understand they don't poop. What happens to them? They're going to blow up?
When we first learned that, it seemed crazy. But actually, it turns out plenty of mites don't have an anus. That's actually not as unusual as it sounds. So some mites just excrete their waste in other ways.
Wow. So whenever we talk about biology and animals and humans, we talk about they occupy some niche in nature, right? A niche. Yeah. What is that the face mites? Why do we have face mites? Where do they fit in?
Yeah, they've created this amazing niche for themselves somehow in early mammalian evolution. So this genus originated with mammals, and as every mammal species arose, mites arose with them. And actually, we have two species on us, and they live in separate microhabitats on our skin. So the niche even becomes an even smaller niche.
Wow, you sent me a face mite kit, you called it, where I actually dabbed oil on my face and I scraped it with a spoon and I daubed it in some cotton and sent it back to you so you could look at my face mites. What did you learn from that?
Yeah, so one of the most interesting things about face mites is that different people from different parts of the world host different lineages of face mites. So I can tell you something about your ancestry by looking at your face mites.
Are you kidding?
No, so...
I'm afraid to ask the next question.
So surprise, surprise, this is the big reveal. Your face mites fall into the European lineage of face mites.
You didn't need face mites to know that, let me tell you that, but that's good to find out. And so how did they decide they wanted to live in our pores? This is an evolutionary thing that's gone on?
That's right. So mites live in the craziest places all over, in every aspect of the world you could ever imagine. So there's mites that live in, you know, the noses of birds and in the feathers of birds and in the skin of frogs. So, you know, our bodies are just habitat, right? And these mites have found great cozy places to live.
If you have questions about face mites and you'd like to ask a question up here, we have a couple of microphones.
I'm wondering if other animals, mammals, also have face mites.
Yes, so all mammal species have face mites. And what's amazing is that right now there's about 150 described species in this genus, but we know almost every mammal that we've looked for has them, and some have 2, 3, 4 species unique to them, which means there's thousands and thousands of face mites to be discovered on mammal species all over the planet. So we need some new scientists, some young budding scientists to come and study face mites with me.
So am I swapping mites with my pets?
Well, if you are cozy with your pets, you could get one of their mites, but they're so uniquely evolved to each host that they probably won't do so well. So I wouldn't worry about getting taken over by your dog mites or cat mites.
Well, good to hear that. I think we have a question. Gentleman's coming to the microphone right here. Yes.
My hair is starting to fall out. Are they the cause?
So, believe it or not, face mites really like fine hair. So there's not a ton of them on your scalp. They really like the fine facial hair and hair in other parts of your body. So you can't blame them for your hair loss, no.
But you're giving them extra space. If
yes,
your hair
that's
is
true.
Gone.
That's true. They're probably going to move
you're
in.
You're helping the face mite
real estate.
Population. Well, I understand that you study face mites on whales, too, right?
Well, this is a big mystery. Face mites have never been described on whales, but how crazy would it be if whales had face mites? So at the California Academy of Sciences, some of our team often responds to the whale strandings, and so I have been delivered a gift of a big chunk of whale skin with a hair follicle and even a tiny hair. And I looked for whale mites, and I have to say I didn't find any, which was tragic, but one day, you know.
That's how Captain Ahab got started, right? Let's go up there in the balcony, yes.
Are skin rashes like eczema related to mites?
Not eczema, but they are associated with rosacea. And, you know, sometimes I think they get a bad rap. It's not clear if they cause rosacea or if they're just a lot of them, if they're just correlative with rosacea.
Have you gene sequenced face mites?
Yeah, so I've been working for years to sequence the face mite genome, and it is so problematic because it's such a tiny creature, and it's full of bacteria, and it's full of human DNA. So what I've done is sequenced, you know, my genome and my postdoc's genome over and over again. But I haven't gotten enough face mite DNA to make it, put together a genome yet. I'm working on it.
Now, we were told that parents can pass on their face mites to their kids, right? In breastfeeding or just kissing them on their forehead?
That's right.
Like
that's
that?
Right.
Does one parent usually do it more than the other, the passing on of
Well, face so, you know, I think traditionally they were probably passed down from mother to offspring primarily through breastfeeding. Although I can say in my own family, I've tested my husband and my kids' face mites. And
Wait a minute. I don't know. Hey, kids, we're going to test your face mites today. Is that?
Yes, I did.
Right after
breakfast. They didn't have a choice. And I can say that my kids have my husband's face mites, which, you know, man, after all the time I put in, you know, it really bummed me out.
Wow. That must really hurt.
Yeah, it did. Yeah. It did.
So when the Europeans do this, all this cheek kissing all the time, you know, they do two cheeks, instead of just one? They're passing a lot of face mites.
I don't think so. I think it's got to be a little bit more prolonged contact. Otherwise, so what I found is that I've sampled thousands of people, and everyone has unique face mites, unless you're together in a family, right? But you don't share face mites with strangers. So if you were passing them along every time you kiss cheeks, there would be more sharing amongst the population, and there's really not. Your face mites are really your own.
I'm going to remember. I'm going to write, you know, got a little pincushion. Your face mites are really your own.
Really your own,
yes. Over here.
It's romantic.
Are there any forensic uses for face mites?
You know, there would be forensic uses. Now, I don't know if anyone is using them, but it would be, it's a field ripe for forensic use. For example, probably because your face mites are really your own, you can tell, you know.
You can leave evidence behind.
You can leave evidence, that's right.
You can
right.
leave your that's face right. mites on.
I've always thought it would be a good sort of like infidelity test, you know, if you check your partner's face mites.
You have the makings of a TV writer. I can tell you that. And thank you very much for taking time to be with us today.
Thank you.
Michelle Troutwine, Curator of Entomology at the California Academy of Sciences here in San Francisco. Thank you very much. And if you're just itching, see what I did there, for more mite knowledge, you can sign up to receive a mite text every day this week by texting the word mite to 917-242-4070. That's mite, M-I-T-E, to the number 917-242-4070. You get a daily mite delivered to you via text. It's not a real mite. No, it's not a real face mite. We're going to send you some information about that mite. And please welcome our musical guests for the evening, the Bay Area's own Foxtails Brigade.
Sleeplessly, I think of stories with no beginning or end. Countless pointless observations on the ratio of sheep to their friends. I cannot myself. We cannot myself. Restlessly, you'll recollect the love, the vulgar, different ways you can swear. Picture all the